Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mr. Inks?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Under item 2, public participation, is there anyone who would like to speak? We do have scheduled Robert Fowler, administrative officer for the city of Norton, but he is running late.
He and the mayor are coming.
Okay. So we will move on, and then when they arrive, we'll just make an adjustment. Under item 3, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Okay. Is that them?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Under committee reports, we'll start with technology and instruction. There's a lot of things going on under technology and instruction. Specifically, a lot of good things to help our students. October 5th, Greenleaf Family Center came in, and this was to the high school. They presented lessons on cutting and self-harm in the freshman 101 class, and also provided lessons on suicide prevention, all of which are difficult topics but affecting our student body. The month of October is Suicide Prevention Month, and so there's going to be a presentation to all sophomores and juniors during Panther time to further discuss that. October 24th is a career day at the high school. This was initiated last year by the guidance department, and there was a great turnout, great response to it from the students and from professionals in the community. So we're repeating that, so hopefully it gives students an idea of, you know, what they want to do, or maybe after hearing about a career, some they decide that they don't want to do it, but at least they are, it's helping them to make those types of decisions. So we do need speakers. If anyone is interested in being a speaker, please contact Jessica Williams at the high school guidance office. And then the other thing I'm going to mention, and I know Mrs. Oliveri and Mrs. Wagler might have additional things to talk about, but we had a presentation from Barberton City Schools by Ryan Hartzell, the assistant principal there. And Barberton has a program that they offer to junior and senior students. I believe it's a requirement for seniors.
Yes.
Okay. Basically to help them in resume writing, job skills, job interview, and things like that. It's a semester-long course that they provide to their students, and so they were sharing the information with us to see if it's something that we can implement for our students and if we felt that it was beneficial. So we have an ongoing discussion about that. I thought it was pretty informative. I think all of our students can benefit from at least some aspects of it. I don't know if within our schedule that it would be a semester-long course, but it's some pretty good stuff. So that's all I have.
Just to elaborate a little bit more on that program, it's a pathways program that Barberton has developed with the three E's, one being employed, one being enlisted, and one being enrolled. And they've developed the curriculum themselves, and they have some resources that they use to support it. But it kind of began as a 12th grade program, and now they've extended it from 12th grade. They've included sophomores, 8th graders, 4th graders, and they're going as young as the kindergarten classes. You know, looking at really a lot of the soft skills that employers look for that they've determined over the course of time that some of the students just don't possess, and encouraging them to work with some of those professionals, and, you know, finding a career path or an employment, an enlistment, an enrollment that works for them. So they're working very hard with their students to make that happen. And so we've asked at that meeting, we had Mrs. Bennett, we had Mr. Santelli, and we had members of the school there as well, and a community member, to kind of talk about what we are currently doing with our students. Is there an overlap? If so, where does it happen? What does it look like? And in moving forward, is this something that we want to pursue? So at our next meeting, we're going to kind of come back to the table and bring those ideas as far as what we're actually doing in our buildings so we can start looking at, you know, cross-checking to see if we're doing these things correctly, so.
Thank you.
I think one of the best things about a presentation like that that a school district can do is to reach out and see what other people are doing. And then you're in discovery mode to see what else is out there. And it takes you outside of your own district a little bit. It's a great way to find some ideas. So it was a strong presentation. Glad we got to see it.
I was gonna say, I teach a senior math class, and I do try to address performance skills and soft skills. So if there's some sort of way that you were thinking about using part of this, that might be a good place to start. Because it's not a state-tested class, it's just a fourth-year senior class. So the sky's the limit, but I can do that, so.
Well, I will let you know when our next meeting is.
Thank you. Mrs. Wagler?
Yes, I have a couple of things for technology. We met, the Technology Advisory Committee, we met last week. There was at least one representative from each building. Some sent two, which I always say is fine, if it's an after-school meeting, all of you may come. We discussed some of our goals that we had discussed and came up with last year, at the end of last year. One of them was progress monitoring. The committee felt that a lot of the teachers would be interested in using Google Sheets, you know, similar to Excel, in tracking student data and checking progress that way, whether it was words per minute, or DRA scores, or MAP scores, or IEP goals. So at our October PD day, we are going to have sessions on that for just about everybody. So we're looking forward to covering that. And then a couple of our other goals that we set last year, I'm hoping that we'll be able to put those into other professional development days. They were interested in just a general assistance with math and technology, finding more resources that they can use with either their online textbook resources or using the interactive whiteboard. Just a general interest in learning more about math and the integration of technology with that. And then the other idea that they had or interest they had was just more test prep for kids, whether it was AIR or MAP. They just wanted to be able to have their students feel more and more comfortable with all of those skills, no matter what grade level that they were in. We also did discuss creating a plan for devices. You know, we're constantly replacing devices and then also looking to add devices where we can. So we are looking at that, as well as including smart boards. So we've looked at different types of interactive projectors. Our smart boards are aged, they're failing, and we need to have some spares. So I met with various people that were interested at the elementary level, and then I'd also met with some of the middle school teachers as well, looking at different examples, giving them resources and how they compare, whether it be price, whether it be, you know, what they can do with them. And they kind of settled on CleverTouch, which is a panel. It kind of looks like a TV. It's actually what the three middle school teachers that got their Arconic grant that they got installed. So looking at trying, out of PI dollars, trying to do one per grade level, K through four, so that we can start working through those differences. You know, it's not like you just get it installed in your room and, you know, you immediately know how to use it and what kinds of things you might run into. So looking to hear back from grade level meetings. Amy and I met with teachers last week. You know, one teacher per grade level, K through four, to get that started. And then we also have some of our, like I said, middle school teachers that are starting to get into that as well. And that'll help us create some spare smart boards and parts so that as those die, the teachers aren't left with nothing. So,
Angie, about how much does one of those cost?
Those in particular are just under $5,000, the size that we got. So those are, for eighth grade, they got 75-inch diagonal. Which basically took up the space of a large smart board. And so that's what those cost. They're just under $5,000.
Okay.
So the high school has the interactive Epson interactive projectors, and during the time of the planning and the arranging for all of that, that was kind of the big thing. As you know, technology has advanced since, even since then. The panels are more the way to go, something that's all in one, and these actually will operate without a computer even attached to them. So if you want the kids to be able to do a center time, or you want them to be able to work on it without displaying from the computer, you can do that as well. One of the best things is that it functions wirelessly to display, which our smart boards do, but the tool that lets you make that happen is malfunctioning, and they don't make them anymore, which seems pretty backwards if you ask me. But you know, trying to find something that will work wirelessly, because depending on the arrangement of the classroom, that was a good way to go. And also, they don't charge for their software. They have apps you can download. They have software, that various kinds of software, math software, science software, all kinds of things. And SMART was moving in the direction of, or they already have, that if you want to upgrade your software, you have to pay per classroom per year. And that just isn't practical for us, or anyone really, I don't feel, in education. So I do know that Wadsworth has pulled out most of their Epson Interactives and replaced with CleverTouch. So we're not the only ones moving in this direction. And I'm not one to jump on the bandwagon, so I usually wait and see what people are saying and how things go. And so we're looking at that. We need to move ahead so that we're not stuck with a bunch of boards that are not working and teachers are, you know, without something to use for that. So we discussed that a little bit, and also looking at starting to vet some websites. So there's a lot about student privacy these days, and just making sure that the resources that our kids are using, that there's, you know, no information, you know, that we're concerned about, you know, resources or websites using those. A lot of districts are doing this, and I think we just need to start looking into it. Right now, we tell parents in our acceptable use form that teachers are using online resources in the classroom, to be aware of that. And also, we've asked our teachers to put in a newsletter, you know, or something, and let parents know what resources we are using. So just something in tech that we need to be aware of. As I mentioned, I met with Amy and the elementary teachers for grade level meetings last week. And we went over some big changes that happened in Google Classroom, just to make sure they were aware with that. They were very appreciative of the highlights of that. And then today I presented to the juniors and seniors at the high school. Every year we have to, and we should, do some internet safety training at different grade levels. That looks differently. And in the past at the high school, we've done this during ELA classes. This year, now that they have Panther time, we took advantage of that, and I presented some information to them on their digital tattoo, which is basically like a digital footprint, if you've heard that term. You know, there's all this information about them out there on the web that they've shared, or even their parents have shared, if their parents have been using Facebook, which is their generation. Just to keep in mind, you know, what they're putting out there, and we talked about different careers and pathways after high school, whether it's the military or trades, and you know, what kinds of characteristics would you look for in a person that you are hiring for that position? And then looking at some sample posts and saying, you know, if that's the direction you want to go, you probably don't want to be posting something like that. So,
that's it.
Okay, thank you. Ryan, sorry to put you on the spot. Can you talk about the Career Tech Day at Barberton? Do you know, is it the 17th or 18th?
It's always the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's not until... Oh, that's right. It's next month.
It's in November.
I'm sorry.
We can talk about it now.
That'd be great.
Not put me on the spot.
All right.
Okay. If you want to wait till the end of the whole November time?
He's just prepping you. It doesn't matter. No, because it will be passed then.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and talk about it now.
Okay, so...
Thank you.
Just every the Tuesday before Thanksgiving... In November, all of the career tech programs, they go and they set up, and it's not just career tech, but they do have some colleges there, as well as some military recruiters. And we take all of our sophomores over to Barberton High School, and they have the opportunity to walk around, view the different career tech programs, ones that they're interested in. The setup is such that we make sure that there are students there
from the programs that can talk to, so it's kind of like kid-to-kid recruitment, as well as the instructors of the programs are there as well. And they had the opportunity to walk around and just get a good look, and it's nice because, like Mr. Addis, I think, was saying in one of these last meetings that we had about how it's only November, but we're thinking about next year. And you got to think about where they're going to go, what kind of program they're going to be in, because as soon as they get done with that and they get back from that, they can start to put in for the programs that they want to get into for the following year. So we take every soft course, we take about 200 kids throughout the day. Copley, Bargain, Wadsworth, and us all have about an hour and 15 minute slot that we go over there, and they have the opportunity to check all that out. So it's good.
Thank you.
Okay. Operations?
You have not met since the last committee on the whole. However, I don't know that we talked about the driveway being done last time, because I don't think it was. So the driveway at the elementary is complete, looks good in utilization. So hopefully that's contributing to some positive results for the traffic, getting cars off the street.
The lines are painted and everything. I haven't been there.
No, that's not. The drive is
okay.
Just, you know what I mean? But as far as the parking lines and stuff, that is not painted.
That same company has been contracted to do the lines as well.
Right.
Okay.
So
yeah,
they are going to do that in between jobs.
Okay.
But it looks good. They did a great job.
Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to attend an SRO, I guess, informational meeting at the Juvenile Detention Center. It was for the whole area. It was a very cool and enlightening experience. A lot of the local SROs, the actual SROs, principals of those schools were there. And it was basically for the courts to talk about how things happen after the school, you know, after the school and the SROs dealt with them, how to proceed, what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. They went through some real case scenarios. I really got more out of talking to the SROs and the principals. I know this is something that we continue to look at. And the communication and the relationships between the SRO and the principal is absolutely, you couldn't imagine. Like the one SRO from Stowe, he talked to the middle school principal and the high school principal like 3 times. And it was like, you know, situations going on, what do I do? He was walking through the situation. So while he was there at training, you know, things were going on, but still a big part of the district. Principals all gave positive reviews. So, you know, it was just very interesting. I can deliberate more into it if we can hopefully afford it at some point. But it was a great experience. So, and it was free. The Chief Delisandro sent us the invite and I requested a spot. So, other than that, I don't know any updates on our bolo sticks.
We're actually working with the City of Barberton Building Department, who oversees that for us.
Okay.
And so I'm working with Mr. Boschlinger over there on implementation. Pat is doing what he needs to do for resource gathering, and our maintenance team is on board. We're just waiting for implementation. We have those. Working on some coding things with Barberton Building Department. I wanted to say, too, your attendance at that. I appreciate you going. It's just another example of the city and the school district working together.
Yeah.
You know, we've been in constant communication with the chief. I know that we've been working on the thought of police officers being a larger presence in our buildings for a while, and it hasn't happened to date, but the conversation has never ended. And it's always been good, strong, consistent conversation as to, you know, its importance here in the district. So I appreciate you going.
Yeah, no
Thank
problem.
You.
Okay. Finance?
We had a meeting on the 26th of September. And obviously, we're always talking about our constantly changing budget. But we wanted to discuss, you know, the upcoming levy, what's going to happen if it passes and if it doesn't. So we just came up with a few things. I'll start with the unfortunate part first, if it fails, we are looking at teacher cuts. These are all possibilities. These are not obviously set in stone. Maybe assistant coaches, pay to participate, and maybe a little bit more on busing. On the positive, if it does pass, we are looking at additional career tech opportunities for our students, additional electives, and, you know, with brought up tonight, that'd be great. You know, we can do new programs like that. More technology, which Angie was saying that we need, and more mental health support for our kids, more counselors, that kind of thing. So that is basically what we discussed in a nutshell.
Okay. Mrs. Hagenbusch, is there anything that you want to add?
She summed it up really well.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about it because we did have a good discussion. You know, we talked about the fact that this year we are in the black through the rest of the year. We did what we needed to do as a school district to make it through the year. And we're not just making it through the year. We're having a great year in Norton City Schools in so many different ways. Next year, we are looking at about $117,000 in the red. And in 2021, it jumps to a little over $900,000 in the red without additional funding. And with the passage of issue three, we are positive not only next year, but the year after that, and also the year after that. So it's obviously an important time period for us. And I think the number jumps up to, you know, $250,000, $260,000 in 2021. So we just get to a better place where we are able to look at some of the things that Cindy just mentioned. Is that accurate, Stephanie?
You're a little off because of what we're going to vote on this evening. We put the officers in that we're looking at. So the ending balance for 2020 would be a negative $279,367.
With failure?
Yes, okay. If it fails.
All right.
But we're trying not to look at that. And then the following year would be $1.2 million.
Okay. All right. And what about the figures if it does pass? Do you have those? Was I pretty close on those?
I did not bring that.
In my notes, I had we'd be at a positive 204 in 20.
All right.
And you said
I'm sending out an entire report tomorrow. Cindy talked about the significance of this. That's the difference between us having additional funding for next year and us not having additional funding. Pretty stark difference.
Thank you. Policy. We have a lot of policies on the agenda for the board.
We did. We had a rather lengthy policy meeting some weeks ago. Actually, that'd be the exciting policy. Very stimulating.
And I promised you it would be 15 minutes.
Yes. Not a lot of big changes. Actually, half of them are just changing one word and or a phrase and the policy doesn't change some things. But nothing groundbreaking. I think Amy had a policy that we put in there. Mrs. Alberry did.
We have to update the gifted policy due to the changing in operating standards, and then each district is required to have a mid-year promotion policy for third grade. So, Mrs. Ebner presented the committee with hers, and I shared a policy with them as well.
At the meeting, I was going to ask if there's any of these that you wanted to highlight or talk about.
That was basically it. The mid-year promotion, because that is something we didn't have set in writing, and Ms. Alberry wisely wanted to put it in before it became an issue.
We've not needed it, but we
haven't
want to be
it yet,
in a situation where we did.
Yes.
Okay.
And other than that, I think everything else is really minute.
And all of these policy changes are recommended and or required by the state.
Right.
Right.
Right. It was just really wordy.
One large change that we had was on how we use credit cards. That's coming from the Auditor of State's office. And they either you have to have them all housed in the treasurer's office and then signed out as people use them, or we have to specifically say who has them. We have to appoint a commissioner to watch them. Then the board has to check them over, and then that commissioner has to go through everything and check them at the end of the year. But we keep them all in my office as it is, and everybody who uses one signs them out. So really, for us, it's not a change. It's something that we've been doing, which is one of those we could say, yes, this is really good. And we only have a couple of credit cards here. We're not like some school districts that have them for every person that's around. So that it's a large change as far as coming from the auditor of state, but for us, it was not a change.
Good. All right, community engagement.
We did not meet. We do have a meeting coming up on October 17th at 6 o'clock in the administration building.
Okay. Superintendent's recommendations?
I just want to do a do-over on my numbers.
Oh.
So this was without the...
Did you look them up?
The police officers that I'm recommending to the board tonight. But with the passage of Issue 3 and the removal of 1.9, we were slated 42,351 in the black for 2020, 337,474 for 2021. So that's what I have in my notes based on our discussions. But again, that was without the police officers.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, let me just sent that out, didn't I?
That's it from
Go
the superintendent's
ahead, we'll look at it.
Report.
All right. Do you have any idea how late Mr. Fowler...
They told me 20 after.
It's 26.
So it's 26 after. Has anyone ever texted during a board meeting? Where are you?
Right. I hate to go into executive session and then they arrive.
Well, I will text. I'll text you.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's got that.
True. 1920 goes really low because we use the 1.9, and then it starts going back up. This is what I sent you guys.
Okay.
So if I gave incorrect numbers, you need to say the right ones.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's correct that.
Do you wanna?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I've messed up twice.
That's okay. We were talking about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Just for the record. If
this is on record, by the way.
Yes, for the record, on record, if we pass the issue 3, that would leave 2000 and, oh, it's right there in front of me, 2020 with $42,531. That's with the removal of 1.9 a year early. That's where we were missing the differences. 2021 is $337,474. 2022, $764,888, and 2023, $786,384. On the board tonight for approval is if the levy passes, the way the language came back from the Board of Elections and from the, I believe it's the Attorney General that checks the ballots. It could be wrong about which office it goes through, but it came back and said we cannot remove the 1.9 prior to the collection of the income tax. Income tax would go into effect in 2019. We're collecting for 2018, but then that's paid in 2019. They haven't collected on 2018 yet. So what we have on the board, that's what the ballot says. What we have on the board tonight is to remove the 1.9 mill levy a year early. So you're not making a double payment. Even though you pay 1 year in arrears for your property tax, we would take that off early. We would tell the county that we're not going to collect it. We would take that off our tax resolution, not collect it for that year. And then the levy, or the levy, yes, would kick in where it automatically comes off and then we collect the income tax. That makes sense. That's very confusing.
So they won't have questions from now.
Ask it.
So they won't be collecting property taxes And normally, Norton, they do it in what, February?
It's, yes, they bill a year in arrears.
Yeah, yeah, so they, so you're gonna take the property tax for this current fiscal year off.
Correct.
Just the 1.9 million.
Yeah, just 1.9, so that people aren't getting double billed, because starting January 1, that's when the income tax.
Correct.
You don't want people paying income tax.
But you can't put it on the ballot that way, so they're making, they have a resolution on this evening to take it off if the levy passes.
Has already 6 months of property taxes been collected by the community?
No, they're not billed yet. Just like if we passed a levy in November 2018, it would go on right away.
Okay, because in my community, I pay my property taxes every 6 months. Is that not the way?
Right, but you're, you pay them every 6 months, but they're a year in arrears.
Oh, okay, all right, I got you.
So when you pay in, when the bills go out in February, it's for 6 months, not the prior 6 months.
Okay.
But, yeah. That's why when we have a levy on, like if we were passing a property tax levy right now to go on in November, it would automatically kick on right away for all of 2018. But they wouldn't allow us to take it off that way, so we just have to go to them and say, don't collect it.
That's a good selling point to vote for the levy.
So technically, you get a tax cut this year before it's even voted in, kind of.
So during the board meeting, when we come to that, if you could explain that.
Oh, yeah, that's
again.
Was clear as mud.
I think that would be helpful.
I think Rod's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, please stay.
Rod, we're counting on you.
Reporters, do you understand that?
No.
So the ballot language, the 1.9 would not have come off until 2020.
Okay.
The board is requesting that it come off a year early so that the taxpayers do not have to pay the earned income tax and the property tax.
He made it sound so much easier.
So February's bill will not include that 1.9 is what you're saying?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Even though technically that was tax that was being collected off of this year.
Right, technically accruing it this year.
Right.
But we're not
pay it February,
yes.
July, or whatever the bills
right.
are.
Right.
All right.
They're literally a couple of minutes away, so if we
just hold on for a few minutes,
a
okay.
Minute.
We can do that.
That would be front page news.
We're still inviting questions, so if you have questions about what we're doing.
And for the record,
I know
one of the really nice things about this
second time I read, those were the exact
for,
numbers you read. I wasn't
for
wrong.
People who don't have
no,
income,
okay. But she was looking
people
at
who don't
numbers.
Have income right now, they're actually going to vote. If they vote for the levy, they're voting for a levy, a tax levy, that will generate money for the schools, and they actually have a reduction in their taxes. They're voting for a tax levy that reduces their taxes.
That's what I was going to ask. It just, I know we've already covered it at least 7 yeah. to 10 times, but I didn't know the proper name. I didn't know if there was a name for, like, the taxes, and I got a lot of questions from senior citizens about, well, which one is this? You know, which earned income to clarify that they understood exactly what we were putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we've talked about it before. But just again, it's no Social Security that's taxed, no pension,
no disability,
no 401ks.
No interest.
Okay. Somebody used the term, I don't know if it was one of us or a senior citizen, said the old man tax. I don't know where they got that from. But
I'm
that
offended
was,
by that.
Yeah,
offended.
That was, I think it was a citizen, and they said, well, that's the tax that doesn't affect any non-earned income, but there's still one out there that not only avoids earned income, but has a little, I don't know, I'm not the tax expert. But
well, there's a school district income tax called traditional.
Right.
That does not protect the senior
That's
citizens.
What I read, just read.
Yes, and we are not doing the traditional, we're doing the earned income. There's two different types of school district income tax.
Okay.
So the traditional is, I think there are 196 districts statewide that use it out of the 608. 46 use earned income, and the others use traditional. Notice I didn't do math there in between. I just said the others.
Right.
Yeah.
And I understood that. I just, for public, just to clarify.
Do you ever figure out if it affects unemployment compensation?
We have been told that it does not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Major people.
We have visitors.
We expected two and we got three. This is nice.
Where do you want us?
Wherever you want.
Wherever you would like. We are ready. Oh, it's fine.
We appreciate your patience.
Too bad the outcome wasn't better, but.
I know, right? So obviously you understand why I'm not professional.
Yes.
So there was two, Dana had asked me.
Actually, Mr. Fowler, just so for the record, if you could just state your name so that it's recorded and people know who's speaking.
City of Norton.
Thank you.
So Dana had asked me to come speak to the board. We have two items on the agenda, council, that are pertinent to you all. And one is the CRA for Condor Welding. The other is a TIF, tax increment financing, for the Acme renovation. One, we've never done a TIF in Norton, but I can tell you, Dana and I have many a conversation. Mayor. See my back. We meet with Dana on a frequent basis, and the three of us, I think we reinvigorate Dana on occasion, and we do our best to try to do that. There is a lot of good things that are real close to happening in the city, and beneficial to us all, but we just need to make sure we have some things in place. And the TIF for Acme is more about showing some businesses what a TIF can do for the community. The benefit for you all is the way we've structured our TIF is that you don't lose any money. And what I told Dana from the beginning, I think we've been made this abundantly clear on every occasion, is the goal is to give the school, and I found out 64% is the number.
Thank you.
64% of the property taxes generated go to the schools. And I know Mr. Gaynor's here in the council. I'm not going to speak for council if you want to ask him, but council's made it abundantly clear that whatever we do cannot impact the school. They don't want it to financially impact you, which is, if you're going to ask, well, why is the CRA at 100%? And I explained this to Dana. I don't know if he's explained it to the board. But the idea of the 100% CRA is to do a pilot, payment in lieu of tax, so that person will pay his 64%. He'll get 100% tax abatement, but he's going to pay a payment to us and the school for our 64% plus whatever the city percentage is. Why do we do that? Well, number one, if we do let's say we give a 50% CRA, that 50% comes off of your percentage. So you're 64, you lose 50%, you get 32%. Again, we wanted to structure whatever we did to not impact the school. So the idea was we'll give him 100%, but then we'll do a payment in lieu of tax, because all he really wanted was the 30% that the county gets. So if you wonder why there's 100% CRA and what does that mean, the idea is we're going to do a pilot, payment in lieu of tax, that will come to you all as a subsequent payment rather than a tax, if that makes sense. So that's the CRA portion.
When does all that go into effect?
Well, I'm hopeful that his construction starts soon. He was supposed to have some buildings constructed by the end of the year. It'll be early next year. We're going to have to work on raising his building a little bit to make it accommodate the floodplain issues that he has. But that will be. I'm hopeful council will do three reads on that. So their first read will be Monday or tomorrow. Tuesday. I'm sorry. March Tuesday. Because of the holiday. And that'll go three reads, so it'll be passed by, hopefully, November. But the key for, I think, for them, as long as you all are made whole, no one has issue with it. And I hope, as long as you all are made whole,
you don't have issue with anything we do. The one thing the law director had asked me to consider is maybe drafting a master agreement with you all that says, hey, as long as the schools get their 64%, or if that changed, the percentage would change, you wouldn't have issue with us moving forward with TIFs.
Is there a time frame?
We're going to notify you via, you'll get a letter from us every time that says, hey, we're gonna, we've introduced this legislation, and this is what it's going to do.
Is there a time frame on this, how long this lasts?
30 years.
30 years for both of them?
So there are two types, there are two, essentially two ways for a city to do a TIF. We could do a 10-year tax capture, which we would get 75%. Now, that doesn't require school board approval, but I can tell you in our discussions that was a no-go for the city because you would lose a significant portion of revenue.
But I think it's important for everyone to know that could be done.
That could have been done, absolutely.
And
we're not doing it.
Yes.
And we're not doing it, absolutely. Mr. Hess, thank you for pointing that out. We could have done 10%, or I'm sorry, 75% for 10 years without any cooperation. But again, the mayor and council said, do not hurt the schools. This is the first time we've ever done a TIF in the city. I can tell you that our goal is to TIF all new construction. Anything that's built in the city needs to have a TIF attached to it.
Build or renovate.
And why? So what happens with a tax increment financing? I'll try not to bore you. But let's just say a lot produces $1,000 in tax currently. Most lots generate more than that, but $1,000. So the new improvement, somebody builds a building on that lot, and now that taxable value goes to $5,000. So the TIF is only on the increased value, the $4,000, so going from the one to the five. You all would get your 60%, about 30. My math's right, $3,200. I'm trying to do that in my head, I apologize if it's wrong. But about $3,200. The remaining portion of that would go to a special fund for the city that should be about $1,800 if my math is close. And that $1,800 can only be used for specific projects related to infrastructure. Can't be used for fire trucks. The statute's very clear. But the idea behind it is, if we're going to grow, the city has to put some infrastructure in. Our biggest deficiency is infrastructure. In order for us to grow in certain aspects, we need infrastructure. So some of the projects we're looking at, There's a housing development that's been approved through Planning Commission. The goal is to TIF that, where we capture 30% of that. Conservatively, over the 30-year plan, that would be $1.3 million. So that's $1.3 million that we can put in infrastructure that directly benefits that property. And what's that allow us to do? That allows us to expand our infrastructure, water specifically, allows us to get water throughout the community, provide for other opportunities for growth. And we don't tax, like I say, we don't tax the resident. That money's not pushed on the resident as their cost for us to do what we need to do. It helps you generate property tax dollars. It helps us expand our infrastructure and bring more property tax. It's kind of a snowball, right? And we, you know, the mayor, I think, I don't want to speak for him, but we have about five projects right now that are about to hit that we will TIF every single one of them. Some of which could be, the discussions have been very, if they go forward, they could be very good for the city. In excess of $20 million worth of investment. I mean, that's real money. And so what we're asking the school board to help us, you know, if you have questions, please feel free to ask, but understand the goal is never to harm, to make you whole. Make sure you always have the amount that you were supposed to get. Because at the end of the day, we need a strong school for us to attract residents and attract business. And the only way we can do that is making sure that you all have.
So this would adjust any time, would you adjust it every year, the 64% based on?
Well, whatever that percentage is.
Well, right. Okay.
You're going to be made whole.
So you would adjust it every year, every five, anytime something changes?
Any change.
Okay.
Right. So I think it's every 3 years, right?
To do the reappraisal, yeah.
I'm not going to make assumptions, but I'm going to say probably every 3 years that would be.
But if we put in a new
levy or whatever,
property tax, yes.
You're still going to get your, whatever that percentage is,
okay,
you're going to get that percentage. Yeah. Because hypothetically, in that $5,000, if you all put a levy on and it generates an additional $1,000, so now you're going to get $4,200 of $6,000, and we're still going to get our $1,800. I mean, that's something. So, again, I could say for certain that the mayor, I'm not going to speak for him, he's here, but he and I have talked. He's made it abundantly clear that I am not to hurt the schools in anything we do.
We will not.
No, I mean,
we appreciate that.
But, I mean, again,
to go all along, so.
Is to provide for the tools we need to help develop, but also to make sure we know.
And I think every time we've met with Dana, we've stressed.
We try to make it abundantly clear that it's a partnership that we need to foster to make sure we all go together.
So your purpose here is to inform us of all of this,
right?
Not that your request. You don't require or need any board action on it,
right.
But it's just
no,
to keep us in
the
public informed.
But I want you to know
informed.
What we're doing,
yes.
Because if you're going to start to see there are at least four more TIFs that are ready to go,
okay.
Within the next few weeks. Like by the end of the year, we'll probably roll four more out. So I just felt we need to explain the TIF process, mm-hmm. Make sure everybody understood that the goal is not to hurt the schools, because you all are on the ballot. Again, we don't want people saying, well, you're taking from the schools. They're asking for more money because the city's taking. And we didn't want you to have that perception out there, and we definitely don't want that perception. But, and I think, you know, the one thing we need to do is make sure that you understood that we could go for the 10-year 75%, but that's not appropriate for us. We feel that together we can do the 30-year as long as it doesn't impact the schools and we pay you what you should be receiving. We can go 30 years. When I looked at what we can generate over 30 years versus 10, with a certain expectation of inflation, it's actually more beneficial for us to do it for 30 years.
You know, and if you're wondering where the additional funding will come from, it's the Summit County portion.
Right.
And we're not hiding that. It's the
right.
Summit County portion of the taxes that we would normally collect. Rather than give to Summit County, we're going to keep and reutilize back into our city, into the infrastructure projects that we're doing here in town.
And I look at this, I've met with the county mayor, and I've met with the county executive. The benefit they have by us doing this, because you're going to should ask, well, why does the county not care? Because our goal is to generate sales tax, which is their primary source of revenue. If they can give up a little bit for us to generate lots of sales tax for them, that's where they're going to better.
We're keeping business in
they're
Summit
better,
County
right.
as well as Norton,
right.
But it's in Summit County. So,
right.
I mean, if businesses were to leave here, there's no telling whether they stay in Summit County or not.
Right.
So it kind of, I'm not going to say it's okay with them, but they're willing to give up a portion knowing that we're working on keeping the business in the city of Norton, which is in Summit County, and it's kind of I won't say a win-win for all, but it is a win-win for all.
So I just want to let you know about
yeah.
TIFs, because Mr. Addis and I have spoken many occasions with the mayor and said, I think his concern was, how is this going to impact us?
Right.
If I'm misspeaking, it's okay for you to say.
No, I think what's important is, the knowledge that we have met on multiple occasions. And, I had someone talk to me this weekend at the Cider Festival asking me how were the city and the school getting along. And I said, we try and meet. We don't quite make it once a month, but we have multiple conversations. And I think both entities are trying to take care of one another. I know, at least from my standpoint, I see both as being crucial to the growth of this school, the city, are to this community, the city and the school district. So I feel as if we're working together strongly and having some strong communication about a number of things.
Just worrying about salt this year.
I am a little concerned about salt. But I think it's going to be a light winter.
In October, we might
get that. Kids don't care about salt.
But in all sincerity, we really want you all anytime. Mayor or I are open doors. You're welcome to come see us. Only thing I ask is try to make an appointment. because he and I, we do.
That's understandable.
We're very proactive, I would say.
Usually Wednesdays, I'm off from Acme, so I'm down at City Hall, but I tell people I've got office hours down at City Hall on Wednesdays. So there have been times where people have come in on Wednesday looking, because the mayor's there, and they get told, well, he's here, but he's here somewhere, he's out. It's because I'm working at City Hall, don't mean I'm actually physically at City Hall. A lot of times we're Barberton, Summit County, wherever, different meetings we're out running, so.
I jam a lot of things on him on Wednesday. One day we can get him. We do a lot of them. But please, if you have any questions about TIF, CRA, again, the goal for us, I think the most important thing I told Dana was to explain the 100%. Because when you read the legislation, it says 100% for 15 years. Right, so it says 30, but that's a typo. But for 15 years, you want to know, wait a minute, why are they doing that? Well, the whole theory behind it from my perspective was to get that property owner to do a pilot. He'll do a payment in lieu of tax because he's already said he only wants the 30%. And if I can make sure that, that you don't lose your 50%, then it's a win for the school. So, you know, again, Justin Markey is our law director. Dana had mentioned that there was a TIF in Medina?
Mm-hmm.
Medina, like they put a parking garage or mm-hmm. something. That he was the, I'll call it an artist for lack of a better term, but he was the attorney that put together that development agreement. So I'm very confident in our staff that if we have questions, we'd be glad to answer them for you. Again, anything I can do to help you, I'm here. So.
As an attorney with a financial background,
right.
So therefore, kind of our, I won't say our mastermind.
He's a CPA.
Sure, sure help. Yes.
He is absolutely. A CPA.
It's a great combination.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good to have that person on our staff who also handles financial bond issuance and things like that. So.
Thank you both.
Does anyone have any questions?
Sorry, I'm late.
That's okay.
That's all right.
I will say this, Dana, and I share a lot of information with Dana. I try to cheer him up every day.
You think I need to be cheered up?
Have you met him?
Let's just say this. I'm very optimistic that come in November, early November, I can share, hopefully we'll have some great news, some really good things that are going to happen in the city. Partnership that we can't wait for.
Yeah. We're hoping for some good news in early November.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all hoping for good news, right? So, yes. I mean, but you know, thank you for your time.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
What's a CRA? What's a CRA?
Community Investment Area?
You guys practiced that, didn't they?
Does anyone in attendance have any questions?
So we had a welding company that is staying in Norton because of this.
And I think it was, I'm glad that actually I could explain 100% because when people read that legislation, they're going to assume that we gave 100% on $300,000, which again, it's not a lot, but again, doing the pilot, we're making everyone whole. So we didn't. You are going to get 100% of revenue, which you wouldn't get if we did like a 30 or 50% CRA. And not a lot of people would understand that. So trust me, I did everything I could to make it 30% and take the county's money. But that's not legal. So I had to do it this way.
Do I say he was just.
Do any of you have any questions for either of them? Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah.
The only issue we have is Mondays are typically we're not. We're off today, so that's why we get to be here.
So it worked out.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
All right. On our agenda, we have an executive session to discuss the employment of personnel and discuss the sale and purchase of property. Can I have a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. We'll go into executive session. And we just have a quick question. Okay, it is 7:21, and we are out of executive session. Can I have a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weddle?
Yes.
Okay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.